How can Omicron be stopped from spreading? The variant of the COVID-19 virus is infecting millions worldwide. Many countries are imposing emergency restrictions. Some are even returning to lockdowns. But is it enough? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the program. I'm Hashim Ahalbarra. The global surge in COVID-19 cases linked to the Omicron variant is forcing some nations to reimpose strict lockdown measures days before the holiday season begins. The Netherlands was the first European country to impose a nationwide lockdown on Sunday. Others are following suit to try to slow the spread of Omicron. France, Austria, Cyprus and Germany have tightened travel restrictions, some even cancelling Christmas and New Year celebrations. And Ireland is among countries imposing curfews and limiting the number of people allowed in bars and restaurants.
Yeah, toch wel een beetje.
I'm a bit surprised by the new lockdown. Actually, how quickly it has come again. We had some idea that we had it under control after all, that we have had done everything we could. We are fully vaccinated. You actually do everything you can to support society. And in the end, it all goes in the wrong direction.
We often say that the government intervenes too late or with half measures. And now I think that with the emergence of the new variant, they simply intervened really hard at once. I hope that we'll be able to tackle it and that in a month's time we'll be out of it, especially when that booster campaign gets going. But you sometimes miss the long-term vision, and that is frustrating. We can no longer plan ahead, and I think that's annoying.
Not so snel.
I didn't expect the lockdown to happen so fast. I personally expected that if the numbers start to increase with that variant, that there could be stricter lockdown, but not so soon. But I know that care staff have had no rest either, so I understand.
Just realizing what is happening now in The Hague. Trying to assimilate this situation. So, but yeah, we should stay at home, but we just having fresh air. It's the nicest weather. It's dry, a little bit winds, but yeah, we don't gonna let. We just follow the rules from the lockdown.
But while some countries are toughening up action against the new surge, others have just begun loosening up after months of restrictions. The United Kingdom has not ruled out new measures, and officials are warning that the full effects of the latest wave are yet to be seen. Australia, which has seen some of the toughest preemptive action, reopened its border in November and is easing restrictions, all while recorded new infections hit new highs. And in the US, top scientists are urging people to rethink their Christmas travel plans and warning about Omicron's extraordinary capability to spread. Let's bring in our guest from London, Oksana Pisic, leader of the Global Citizenship Programme on Outbreaks of Infectious Diseases at University College London. From Amsterdam, Jop de Vries, journalist specialising in medical science. And in Hong Kong, John Nichols is clinical professor in pathology at the University of Hong Kong. Thank you for joining the programme. Oksana, from the data available so far, is it fair to say that the world may be bracing for a surge of infections similar to what happened in April 2020?
Well, certainly we'll see that vaccinations are going to mute some of the symptoms, but boosters are very clearly needed. And in the UK, there is a target of trying to achieve 1 million boosters a day, which is very ambitious indeed. But it won't be enough to quell the Omicron wave that is rising faster than any other variant that we have seen to date. So it's likely that in many countries with a similar demographic to the UK will experience a similar rate of spread amongst its most vulnerable populations as well as in the young.
Yep, the countries that have started going back into lockdowns or reimposing tougher restrictions, are these measures justified or there's a great deal of anxiety here?
Well, there is some discussion because actually our recent wave is still going down. But within that wave, there's the Omicron wave coming up and our hospitals are still kind of overflooded. A lot of people actually even getting oxygen at home because we don't have space in the Netherlands in the hospitals and a lot of regular care is scaled down. So we don't have time to wait and we don't have time to figure out what happens with Omicron, whether it's more or less severe as the other variants we had. So sort of it's necessary now to, it was necessary to take this step.
Mm-hmm. John, many scientists are saying it's just a matter of time before Omicron becomes the most dominant variant of COVID-19, taking over Delta. But is it a right time to start thinking about measures when we don't know yet whether this is less or more severe than Delta?
Well, this is, I think, the invitation. This is a very, very challenging question because people are, there's the data from South Africa says, well, yes, it's very transmissible, but it's a mild disease. But the more recent data, of, I think the Oxana will have more information from UK saying, well, let's hang on a bit. You know, still the early stages. We need to wait for about 2 to 3 weeks to see will there be this massive increase in the hospitalization? Because even though it, some people think it may be less dangerous to the patients, the sheer number of patients will just do what's happening in Netherlands, is that you do not want to have the overwhelming of the healthcare system. So any measures which you can do to dampen down the people being admitted, be it through social distancing or restriction measures or through the vaccination, is what is needed to stop the overwhelming of the healthcare system, people getting into hospitals and the increase in mortality.
Oksana, why is it that the UK, which is the hardest hit in the region with almost 93,000 daily cases, not taking the same toughest approach that the other European countries are taking?
Well, there's definitely a difficult political choice in this instance. The scientific advisors in SAGE are saying that, you know, we could be looking at 3,000 hospitalizations a day in coming weeks if we don't roll out a more intensive plan than the current plan B, and are suggesting more restrictions like circuit breakers. But Tory MPs have rebelled even against very mild measures that have been recently reintroduced. So again, it comes down more to a political question. And yes, the Imperial study that has been published has also verify that at this stage, we cannot say that in the UK, Omicron is going to be milder. In South Africa, there's the younger population. There's also a huge amount of exposure to previous variants such as Delta. So the picture looks different there, but it's not safe to just make that assumption now. And if we go based on what hospitalizations are today, knowing that there's such a significant lag effect, we're going to be in big trouble. The British Medical Association has already said that by Christmas Day, we could have 1 in 10 health NHS workers off sick as a result. So it's not just about the number of hospitalizations. Mm-hmm. We also have to have healthcare staff to care for people with essential medicine and urgent care.
Mm-hmm. Yup, since the start of the COVID-19 outbreak, countries took two different approaches, a drastic one where you have the lockdowns and all those tough measures, other one for something like a smart approach where you have the contact tracings and so on and so forth to be able to contain the surge. The Netherlands, when they opted for the option of a return to the lockdown, is it because they wanted to give some leeway for the medics to be able to start with a booster before they decide how to move forward?
Yeah, there was an issue with the booster campaign. It started way too late. We are one of the last in Europe that had started. So only 8.6% of the population has received a booster, while in most other countries in Europe, it's like 25 until even 35%. So so we need time to catch up. And contact tracing has never been performing well in the Netherlands. We lost track in March, early in March. We tried to ramp it up in summer, but then lost it in September. So it's never helped us a lot. Our municipal health service does do contact tracing, but not in a way to sort of push down the curve, just to inform people about, to get them to isolate. But it hasn't helped us a lot.
Mm-hmm. John, people seem to be a little bit baffled by the fact that the politicians need to get their act together when it comes to how to move forward. I'll just give you an example. We were told at the beginning you just need two shots, and this is it. A booster is just for those with underlying health conditions. Now we're being told, you know what? Everybody needs the booster, otherwise Omicron might be a nasty variant.
Yeah, I think the thing which the problem is that all these words are coming back to bite us. All these predictions, it's because we're dealing so much with uncharted territory, because when we thought that we had Delta under control, the vaccines were working, and then along came Omicron. And I think that was it. Some people were predicting it because in parts of Southern Africa, where there's a low vaccination rate. And also, the reality is that this is an RNA virus, and the more virus you're getting to replicate, the more chance you're going to get of these mutations occurring. So I think it's, in a way, people were saying that there's been so much vaccine inequality between the rich countries and other places where there's been poor vaccine coverage. So I think it's not surprising that the Omicron broke out. But I think it's basically a virus, this variant has basically found a sweet spot of being able to replicate very, very effectively and to cause great transmission. So I think in a way we've only got ourselves to blame for when we've treated vaccine programs around the world.
Mm-hmm. Oksana, is it because Omicron spreads as fast as measles, which means that it's just likely to further continue spreading all over the world, which is creating the concern here? Or is it because we don't really know whether this is something that could send many people to ICUs, and this is where we're going to have real problems?
Well, again, so we're looking at the question of transmissibility versus severity. And I think what we've tried to explain is that any benefit in the virus being milder, whether that's due to vaccination, prior exposure, or the strain itself, because we are now looking at so many more people being infected at the same time, that makes whatever reduction in hospitalization due to mildness is in some way thwarted. So you still are going to see a big pressure, particularly in those who we already know in certain populations, vaccines are just not as effective. So the booster, however, there's been good news that it provides 80% reduction in hospitalization. So that is great news, but it's going to take us time for many countries to get there. There are many countries in the world that still haven't even had their first dose of vaccine. So it'll look very different in different places. But I think the key message here is that the negative impact on health is going to be exponentially worse the longer that we allow exponential growth of the virus to occur.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sometimes the political advice outweighs the medical consideration. And we do understand that because in Europe they had 89 million cases and more than 1.5 million COVID-related deaths. Does it explain the reason why people are going into those tougher, drastic actions? Because they just don't want to end up having hospitals swamped in the upcoming weeks?
Yeah, well, it's just this is the main goal, in particular in the Netherlands, but in most European countries, has been not to, we call it code black, where people will not get a place in hospital to get treated, either for COVID, severe COVID, or an accident or anything else that's severe. That's what they want to prevent. They have never actually really tried to keep the virus down, the transmission low. Actually, they even flirted with herd immunity for a long time and tried to sort of maximize the number of cases within their healthcare capacity. And that has proven to be a very short-sighted strategy. And in particular now that even previous infections do not, no longer create enough immunity to not get reinfected. Mm-hmm. But still, all the time, people are thinking, oh, well, it's too late to change that strategy now. And actually, we should have done it earlier, and maybe we should still do it. But It's a very difficult political situation now.
Now, John, explain this to me, please. Don't you think that there needs to be a rethink of the strategies themselves? Because we started with COVID-19. There was a alpha variant, beta variant, delta variant, Omicron variant. Most likely we're going to see many more mutations and variants in the near future. Whatever you do, whatever kind of restrictions you will have to do, you will have to wait for the next winter, and then you will have to reimpose the same sanctions.
I don't think we can answer this question in a very quick way, because you know we can't predict what the next variant is going to be like. There are some people who are saying hopefully this variant will crowd out the other ones and we may just disappear. And I think that that's a big challenge. I think the frustration people feel is that they say we've done the right things, we've had the vaccine, we've been done this, and now we've been told to go back to the restrictions. Just to get back to something which was said earlier, is that one of the recent studies which we just did, completed last week, was that this Omicron actually replicates about 70 times more effectively in the upper respiratory tract of humans than Delta. So this is a virus in which it's each person is, you know, when you get infected, it's a very, very effective at replication. So I think that it's going to lead to far more transmission. This is a different beast to the other variants.
Oksana, when you look at the data, we know that the unvaccinated people face 20 times greater risk of dying from COVID-19 compared to those vaccinated. Does it bring to the table the issue that people have to be fully vaccinated now, plus the booster, to be able to say by the springtime we could see light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, certainly we know that the unvaccinated are also going to be putting on some of the greatest pressure on the healthcare system as well, because there's, as already mentioned, even if they were infected previously, reinfection with Omicron is 3 to 4 times more likely than with any other variant that we've seen to date. So there has to be a better effort at engaging with these groups that have up to this point refused. And we also need to ensure that we're rolling out to younger populations as well. So the UK has been late to that, but they are starting now with vaccinating younger groups as well. But we also have other tools, and there's some promise with antiviral drugs. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's key for this to be able to be administered early. And for this wave, there's just not going to be enough supply for it to make a big enough dent. But certainly, hopefully this is going to be the last winter of even discussing restrictions, because we'll have a wider toolkit available in terms of treatment, which perhaps some people who, although the vaccine remains the best preventative measure, if it may be that others are also more willing to take other treatments needed. So with the wider therapeutics that are available, more population immunity built up, hopefully more efforts in ensuring that other countries have access to doses as well, so that we're tackling that vaccine equity problem. If we look at it globally, we can push things further along as long as we do try and learn those lessons about we can't ignore the rest of the world. It's going to have local impact, and that seems to be, for whatever reason, a difficult message to get through.
Oh, that's a massive gap, by the way, because if we're talking about Africa, you're talking about some places where you only have 28% of the population which has been vaccinated. You mentioned the issue of antiviral drugs. Yup. The biggest fear for a doctor, for a nurse and a politician is the same peak of hospitalizations that we saw last year, and which means, obviously, more tragedies and more deaths. Had we spent and invested more time and energy and money on the antiviral drugs, do you think that we could have reversed the trend?
Well, I think it's one of the tools. Yeah, we talk a lot here about the Swiss cheese model. We need all these different tools, and not all at the same time, every time of the year. Sometimes the season helps. Sometimes we have a variant that's more sensitive or more vulnerable and more sensitive to these treatments. Yeah, we will need them, these extra tools. But also, that's what I also learned from a vaccinologist this week, that even for vaccinated people that have not had their booster and they get infected, that might even benefit from getting their vaccine the day after they get infected. That might also help. Mm-hmm. And then antivirals along with that can also help for unvaccinated or other people that have not that chance to get their extra shot.
John, in the US, you have some grim news coming from different parts of the country. Fauci is saying basically that the country should be bracing for tough few weeks to months. And then you have places like Maryland where the surge in infections is going to something like 150%. It's same trend which is in places like New Jersey, same trend in places like New York. What's the problem here? What is the failure here? Where does it come from?
I think it's been mentioned quite a few times in this debate, is that I think it really comes down to politics, and it comes down to people's attitudes. Is that I think most studies have shown is that the high rates will come from the way of getting the low rates of vaccination, where people are reluctant to even have the mask mandates. Even in Hong Kong, you see, we haven't had a community case of COVID for about 2 or 3 months. Yet still, everybody goes around wearing masks, even outside, indoors, because we had this experience with SARS, and we don't see it as being a social stigma of wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. So I think that that to me is one of the most cost-effective ways to try and decrease the infection is simple masks. And I think if people were to just bite the bullet and just say, look, masks are effective, they're cheap, and they're a way of actually decreasing transmission. Then this is when there's no vaccines available.
I have less than 3 minutes here, and amid the grim statistics that we've been showing globally, is there any good news or glimmer of hope that we should be sharing with our viewers today? I'll start with you, Oksana, very briefly, if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, I think that all the things that we know about breaking chains of transmission still hold true. So for every viewer, again, making sure that you are taking a test before you leave the house, that's a good move if you can get access to one. I know here in the UK, there have been some shortages. But the same measures to protect yourself and your loved ones at this time you can employ to really gauge your own level of risk, even if you are somewhere where there is perhaps more flexibility around that. So I would say that in this coming weeks, we're going to go through in the winter period, it's going to be a bit difficult, but going around the other side, there's going to be better weather, people are going to be outside more, and we're going to have more tools available to us. So as long as we have that spirit of cooperation, of global solidarity, we can make a significant difference in saving lives and economic recovery.
Yep.
Yeah, well, but I think it's important to emphasize that the dynamic of having boosters every couple of months, people are complaining a lot about it, but it's not so different from the things we know from influenza, except for that influenza only sticks to the season. At least in the north, on the northern hemisphere, we have that flu season, and then we get this shot just in right in front of that season. And as long as we can keep the virus as low as possible, just by having enough people that have some immunity during the rest of the year, we can boost once a year. That would be a good perspective, right? At least some perspective.
John?
Good news. I think good news is that I think we're in a much better position than this time last year. Far more vaccines, we're far better looking at ways of treatment. And I think it's just going to be a matter of, willpower and also making sure that you protect and look after the healthcare workers, because they're the ones who will be looking after you when you come to hospital.
It's always good when you hear scientists and doctors telling you there's always a light at the end of the tunnel and that tomorrow is going to be a better day. Oksana Pezek, Joop de Vries, John Nicholls, I really appreciate your insight. Thank you. And thank you too for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Hashim Ahlbada, and the entire team here in Doha. Bye for now.